Welcome to the Science Podcast. It's February 20th, 2012, and this is a special podcast from the AAAS annual meeting in Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm Carrie Klein, and I'm here with online news editor David Grimm, who is going to give us a rundown of some of the stories from the meeting. So, Dave, we're nearing the end of the meeting. You spoke with Sarah a couple days ago about what had happened in the beginning. What are some of the more exciting stories from the last few days?
Well, Carrie, we've had some pretty cool stuff happen in the last couple days. One of the neat stories that we just ran was on a people called the Aleuts, who for most of the past 5,000 years, they're hunter-gatherer people, and they've lived on a small island off the southern coast of Alaska known as Sanic Island. And the reason researchers are interested in studying them is because they want to know, how did ancient humans interact with their environment? You know, we have this sort of stereotype that ancient peoples were much more in harmony with their environment in terms of the resources they used than we are today, but there's not a lot of scientific evidence for that. And this study really aims to provide some of that evidence. Basically, what the researchers did was they really took a detailed history of the people that lived in this area. They looked at archaeological evidence, written evidence, and they even looked at ancient sites called middens, which are essentially preserved dumps of food waste, such as bones and shells. And what they found is that these Aleuts, for several of the past 1,000 years, really did live in harmony with their environment. They were really omnivores. They pretty much ate whatever they could. They weren't picky eaters. And despite this, they didn't really drive any species to the brink of extinction. Once a species really, the numbers really started to get low, they moved on to another species. And the researchers actually constructed these very intricate food webs, which showed that even though the Aleuts were really eating a lot of different species, and this could have had a very devastating impact on the local ecosystem, it didn't, because the people really just ate a species until it became rare and then hard to find, and then they moved on to a new species, allowing that other species to recover.
Maybe something that modern society could take a lesson from.
Exactly.
Okay, and what's up next?
Well, another item we ran was about a sort of war going on in the lungs of cystic fibrosis patients, and it turns out all of our lungs are sort of ecosystems that have a lot of different types of viruses and bacteria living in them. But in cystic fibrosis patients, the bacteria can really cause problems. Cystic fibrosis is this disease where the lungs can actually generate this really thick mucus, and which really makes life difficult for these patients. But what makes life even more difficult is bacterial infections that can crop up in their lungs and spread throughout their body and give them a lot of nasty infections. It turns out that bacteria form these thick layers called biofilms in the upper lungs of cystic fibrosis patients. And because they do this, they are able to keep viruses from attacking them and killing them. Now, that's good for the bacteria, but it's bad for the cystic fibrosis patients. Lower down in the lungs, however, the viruses are actually winning the battle down there, and they're actually killing a lot of bacteria, preventing them from forming these biofilms. So scientists think that by tracking exactly what's going on in these various battles in the lung, it can really help them track the progress of the disease in cystic fibrosis patients and possibly even develop new treatments.
Exciting research. And what's our last story here?
Well, Kara, our last story is about whether being fit actually makes you smarter, at least a little bit more street smart. This is an experiment that was done with children that were from 8 to 10 years old. And basically what the researchers did was they put virtual reality goggles on these kids, and they made them cross a very busy street. So this was all done in virtual reality, and you actually see a video of this done on the site. And what they wanted to find out is if the kids that were more physically fit got across the street safer without being hit by a car. Now, this had nothing to do with being faster or more agile, the things you would associate with being physically fit. It actually had to do with whether being fit made these kids better able to multitask. What the researchers did was when these kids were in this virtual reality environment, they also had them be distracted by telephone conversations or other types of distractions. And it turns out that both groups, the kids that were fit and not as fit, were able to make it to the other side when they were not distracted by phone conversations without being hit by a virtual car. But kids that were in shape were better at crossing safely than their less fit peers, despite the fact they didn't move any faster. So really, again, it had nothing to do with their physical ability. And scientists before have linked aerobic fitness in kids to bigger brains, specifically the part involved in paying attention. So the idea is there's some sort of correlation between being physically fit and being able to multitask, which may, at least in this case, translate to having better street smarts.
Wow, that is something I never would have even thought to study.
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff that's happening at the meeting. So there's a lot of fun stuff happening here.
Great. Thanks, Dave. So remind me, where can I check out all of this information online?
Well, Carrie, you can find all of our coverage on news.sciencemag.org. You'll find all the Science Nows we've run from the meeting, all of the Science Live chats we've run for the meeting, and of course, all the great podcasts that you and Sarah have been doing. So check out all the good stuff we've been doing on the site.
David Grimm is the online news editor for Science. You can check out the latest news and the policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org, where you can also join a live chat, Science Live, on the hottest science topics every Thursday at 3 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. I hope you've been able to enjoy the few that we've hosted from right here in Vancouver, British Columbia. Check back on iTunes, the RSS feed, and the Science site for more podcasts and other content from the annual meeting.